A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome back, David. Thanks for the early morning scoop. It's good to have you back. All right. Welcome to your number one. If you're just joining us, if you're just coming on now, you know, and you're wondering, where am I? Well, you're on Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station in the land. So good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So how are you this morning? It's a Wednesday morning. It's a Thursday morning. I always take people back. You know, I'm very slow. This means that I'm a very slow person. So, yeah, I'm behind everybody. Okay, so good morning. It's a Thursday morning, not a Wednesday morning. It's a Thursday morning. Don't get angry. Don't get angry and thinking, hey, where are you taking us? No, no, no. It's a Thursday. I'm not God. Even if I say it's Wednesday, nothing gonna happen. It's still Thursday. So good morning to you, and welcome where am I? My mind is somewhere else. Gosh. So good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is your daily dose of what is going on, what is really going on in business, in finance, in economics, in politics. So every weekday we come through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, 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 that's what we do, curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. And we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of a bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you and welcome. You're welcome and thanks for choosing Eagle FM and for joining me at this point in time. So it's always a pleasure, a very pleasure for me and a pleasure for us here at Eagle FM, you know, if you choose us to be in your company. So, all right, our time is about 3 minutes, 3 minutes past eight. What is my time? Yeah, 3 minutes past eight. And today is the 6th of November. I don't want to get you back again. So it's the 6th of November. So on the 6th of November, we normally look at the very beginning of the show. We look at, you know, what happened in the course. What happened on this day in Africa and the course of history? What happened on this day on our continent? So in 1975, that's on November 6th. Actually, that started, this whole thing started like on the 5th or the 4th. But on November 6th, 1975, approximately, you know, 350,000. Imagine that number of people, you know, 350,000 unarmed Moroccan civilian began the Green March. Now, this Green March was now advancing. It's advancing into the neighboring Spanish. By that time, it's a Spanish Sahara. Okay? The Spanish Sahara. It was under the control of the Spanish. And the march was a mass demonstration coordinated by the Moroccan government under the King Hassan II to pressure Spain to relinquish control of the disputed territory. So the participant, who also included the camouflaged Moroccan soldiers, carried Moroccan flags and Quran and banners demanding the return of the Moroccan Sahara, not the Spanish Sahara, you know. So the Spanish forces under order not to fire the marchers to cross the border. So the Spain ultimately withdrew from the territory. They eventually withdrew from the territory, and that event it's a pivotal moment in the ongoing Western Sahara conflict in that region. So on November the 6th in 1962, the United Nations General Assembly adopted Resolution 1761, which officially condemned South Africa's apartheid policies. The resolution called on UN member state to take action against apartheid and to cut off diplomatic and economic ties with South Africa. Now, this marked one of the earliest official international action against the country's system of racial segregation. And on the 6th and also on the 7th, now that's in 1975, during South Africa's covert intervention in the civil war in Angola, Operation Savannah, the South African Defense Force, SADF, captured the coastal harbor cities, of Benguela and Lobito, and handed them to the rebel movement, UNITA. So this took place during the chaotic decolonization period of Angola, when Portugal had agreed to relinquish control and had major regional security implications. So with other Cold War powers involved in Angola's fate. So, yeah. And, yeah, basically that's all what we have on this day. On this day in Africa. So, and today's Thursday, November the 6th. So what is our thought for the day? Knowledge is better than riches. Is that true? Knowledge is better than riches. Wow. Now, this proverb, underscores the idea that intellectual and maybe also spiritual growth surpass material wealth, you know. And this perspective suggests that while money can provide temporal comfort, it is knowledge that offers lasting fulfillment and the ability to make informed decision. So in essence, this proverb teaches that investing in knowledge equips individual with tools to achieve success, make wise choices, and lead a meaningful life, often rendering a material wealth as secondary. So knowledge is better than riches. So whatever you do today and choices that you make, make sure that, you know, you equip yourself with tools like knowledge to be able to achieve success and make wise choices. So knowledge is better than riches. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning. And if you're just getting on board now, if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day. And thanks for doing that. And you're mostly welcome. And you are on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So what you can expect today, what we can look at today, yesterday there was this, our front page yesterday on the e-newspaper, on the Villager, there's a story about a disconnect between economic growth and job creation in our country. It's a very interesting story. So we're going to look at that. We're going to get deeper into that. And the other thing, if we still have time, Namibia's interest payment. The other time we were looking at, because we're looking at, you know, we're looking at the euro bond, and we're looking at the foreign currency. What was that we're looking at foreign, you know, the foreign currency. What am I forgetting? Okay, never mind. But today we're looking at Namibia's interest payment. The interest payment rise, actually to rise to 14.4 billion in 22. I mean, in this finance, in this fiscal year. So, our debt interest will actually rise to 14.4 billion in 2025-2026. So, yeah, that's something that we can look at as well. Maybe we can discuss that as well and how to go about that, how a country can go about that. And, well, your participation, of course, as usual, will also be part of the show. So, good morning. Well, as you can see, we still have some really interesting topics to, you know, to go through this morning. So, don't stay away. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafatha na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tithamweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma konara hitatuimu. Datu heari hamano tano oliyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, and welcome. Good morning. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning to you. And welcome to another edition of Unpacking the Day this morning, right here on Eagle FM. Well, I'm your host, Mike Oshavelli, bringing you the latest conversation around the issues that matter most to all of us. To us all. So the front page story, the front page story in yesterday's edition of the Villager e-newspaper, is talking about the disconnect between economic growth and job creation in our country. This has been a puzzle. It's a puzzle that has been growing more complicated, that has been growing more complicated by the day. So looking at why is it that our economy keeps growing, even if it's growing very slowly. So it keeps growing, but we are not seeing enough jobs being created, especially for the youth. And it's not only for you. I think that has become a common things that people say nowadays, that especially for the youth. Yes, youth are highly, you know, when we look at the youth unemployment is more higher because, you know, this country, the population that we have is between the age of what? Between the age of 15 to 35. That's the largest population we have in the country. So therefore, that's the largest population that hasn't been, you know, that have no work also. So, yeah, in that way, we can understand that. Yeah, that story we're looking at is a story by Nino Minwabali Erastus. You can still check that in your, if you haven't, this is one thing, if you haven't subscribed yet to the Villager, you're missing out. Really, I can tell you that. I can tell you that for sure you're missing out. So make sure you subscribe, and you subscribe now as you listen to me. Subscribe just now. What do you do? It's nothing much. You're not going to do a lot. Or what you need to.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. So, yeah, what was I saying? I was saying you must subscribe to the e-newspaper, the Villager, because you're missing a lot. This is where we get all, you know, this financial, business, you know, economic news. If you're that kind of person that interested in this kind of news, make sure that you subscribe. And what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number, you know, and that WhatsApp message, you include just your name and your email address. So 083333. I was going to give you my number. It's 081-200-4144. 081. Sometimes I'm not hearing myself. 081-200-4144. So that's all what you need to do. And if this is your first time, you know, coming to, getting here, it's your first time here on Eagle FM. So the Villager, comes to you, delivered to you, you know, delivered to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you don't need to do anything. Just sit, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or some kind of soft drink in a weather like this. And well, voila, radio in newspaper. You know, write either on your phone, on your tab, on your computer. So write right on your palm of your hand. So, all right. So welcome back. So our time is about, you know, 17 minutes past the hour of 8. So now we're talking about the why is it that our economy keeps growing? And even if it's growing very, 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 very on a space of a snail, even if it's growing on a space of a snail, it's growing nonetheless. So yeah, why is that our economy keeps growing, but we are not seeing enough job being created, you know? So we're not seeing enough job being created. And seriously, so you're sitting there listening probably to me. That's a good question, isn't it? That may be something that we need to look at seriously to see. Yes, we aren't doing bad economically. We are growing. But why the growth of our economy doesn't translate. It doesn't transform into economic, you know, it doesn't transform this into economic development, you know? So, now let's a bit rewind. Let's rewind a bit. Now, over the years, okay? Over the years, Namibia has seen period of economic growth. And as I said, even if it's very slow, it's economic nonetheless. It's a growth nonetheless. So we have all seen, I mean, you can pick up one of those economic publications. It tells you, give you some statistics already of a growth in economy in a certain, you know. So, yeah, we see the stats, and you might even feel it. You know? You may even feel it in some of the areas, you know, more shopping mall. I mean, in your area, you could have been now shopping malls up, popping up. Or even if there are no, some of these shopping malls are empty, but there was a time when these shopping malls are popping up all over, you know. So that's a sign of economic growth, all right? It could be, housing. You can, real estate, you know, booming in some towns, maybe, you know, in the coast, maybe in your town, you never know, you know? So we also see a surge in the mining sector. So, and many more other sectors as well. So, yeah. So we see that there is a bit of, you know, there has been a period of economic growth. But Here's what now concerns most people. What concerns most people in this country is that despite all that growth, unemployment is still through the roof. Unemployment is still wow, you know. And let's face it, you know, the people most affected, as we said earlier, is the people between the age of 15 and 35. And also, let's not say age between the 15 and 35. That's the most populous here in Namibia, as age group that is, you know, in Namibia. But we have seen also that now 45, up to the age of 45, there's a group of people still who are actually cut off from, you know, from meaningful. And these are able people. You know, the funny thing is, yeah, when we're talking about this, you know, just go around 10 o'clock already. Okay. And this is very, I don't know to what extent when this would be very something for us to do something. You understand? I'm not saying, and it will come to that. Think about Madagascar. What happened to the Madagascar when the youth decided, hey, enough is enough. What happened to Kenya? You know? So what happened to, what is the other country? I'm just talking in Africa. So the youth can rise. The youth can rise. It's something that we need to be really, really careful of. So what I was trying to say is that you, just around 10 already, around 9, 10, 11, around that time already, go around bars and entertaining place. You already find these able people, able young men, and I'm talking about able young men hanging around bars and these entertainment places, doing absolutely nothing. Able men, you know, between the age of, you know, 15 to 45 and more. So, and I think this is a very, it's a discussion that we need to have as a nation. It's a really discussion that we need to have as a nation. So now the story is talking about now the shift, or the shift that we need to have, a shift from jobless growth. We see that there's a growth. It's a jobless growth to inclusive growth. All right. So it's easier said than done. So, but let's discuss anyway. Let's have a conversation on that. So now this is the shift that people are looking at. So from jobless growth, that there is a growth, but there's no job. So let's look at now inclusive growth. A shift should be coming from jobless growth to inclusive growth, a growth that actually creates jobs. So what kind of a growth? It's a growth, but it doesn't create jobs. It doesn't reduce poverty. It doesn't help all Namibians get ahead. Not at all. But well, there are a few bunch of people that are actually, you know, benefiting from still this kind of jobless growth. So there are a few. Yeah. But we're looking at, but now, it's good that you have institution, even within the government, to say, to acknowledge that, yeah, there is a growth, there's economic growth, but it doesn't make any change. There are no really tangible differences when it comes to those things, when it comes to employment, when it comes to creating jobs, when it comes to reduce poverty, you know? So that's, that negotiation need to start. That's a conversation need to start. Now, the government has long pushed for growth. Yes, look at many way. You're looking at the development plan that we have produced so far. There are more than the growth that we need. So, yeah. So the government has pushed for growth, but the problem is, as now Michael Humavindu, the executive director of the Ministry of Finance, pointed out recently, and in that article that we're looking at, it is not just about growth for the sake of growth. So he said it's not just, it shouldn't be just growth for the sake of growth. So it should be a transformative, you know, growth. Economic transformation is the key. Economic transformation is the key. Now, but here's the troubling part. Okay? Now, think of this. Okay? Maybe this is because we are journalists, or as for myself, you know, I all my area of studies has been asking questions, you know, philosophy, psychology, journalism. So now, but here's the troubling part that we seriously need to think. Now, if growth is not linked, isn't linked to transformation, that is not linked to transformation. Now, who is really benefiting? Now, to the, who, think of this. It's like, you know, it's like you see, okay, we there's something that we're doing, but then who is really benefiting then if it's not, you know, if it's not linked to transformation? Maybe first let's talk about the policies that are meant to make this change happen. At the moment, we can talk about, we're talking about the National Development Plan, NDP 6, and the ruling party manifesto, the SWAPO manifesto. So, but for now, maybe it shouldn't be focused on that. We have to look at the development plan that comes before this NDP 6, because they are all, those are all, you know, policies that were meant to make now that growth, that transformative, that economic transformation happen. You understand? So we're talking all the Harambe Prosperity 1, the Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2. We're talking about the NDPs, all of those. Talking about Vision 2030. All those plans. We're talking about all that. What was Pohamba's thing? Did they have something specific for him? I'm not too sure. All right. Now, you have all these policies that are meant to make that transformation happen. Yeah, but hold on now. Hold on. What happened? How these have these framework or, yeah, these policies, have this now really, have you seen now? Can you say, now we're talking about transformative. What we're talking about is economic transformation. Okay? There's economic growth. We're talking about economic transformation. All right? And this is not, it's not something that I'm saying. That's what also the executive director, for example, in the ministry is saying, well, we need to look at this different. I mean, this hasn't really translated into economic transformation. Okay, so now my question is, have these framework really moved the needle? In terms of economic growth, we see a slight growth, we see a growth, yeah. Maybe not where we want to be, so maybe we haven't grown to what we plan to, we envision to, where we envision we should be by now. But when we're talking about economic transformation, has this framework really moved the needle? Or do they look at good? I mean, do they look good on paper? As many of our documents, we can name many of our documents are really good, and when you look at that, because they are done by, you know, by the best consultants coming maybe from overseas and give us a good document. So they do look good on paper, but, you know, our disease, you know the disease, you know the Namibian disease, but they lack the real teeth when it comes to what? When it comes to implementation. It's always lacking, we always lack that, the real teeth. I think we concentrate too much on having things right on a national level, on a strategic level, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. But then we don't have the capacity to implement what we have in those papers. Absolutely not. First of all, we don't have the capacity to enforce it. And maybe we don't even know what we need to implement. So that's one thing when things are done in isolations. When you have, when the plans are done by the ministry and the ministry now just want, okay, the region, you need to do this. This is what you need to do. And they never participate in the whole process. You know, there must be a planning process that include, you know, the very people that are going to implement this. Maybe that we need to look at how we, you know, how we need to, or how we have to implement our, first of all, how we have to do our planning from the planning process. So now, and we have seen these plans. We have seen this plan come with, when you look at much of those plans, they come with a great ambitions. Come with a great ambition and aspiration. You know, you listen to really, really big numbers. More job, more infrastructure, more inclusive growth. You hear all that. You know, this will, what's going to happen. More jobs will happen. More infrastructure. It's more. Eh? But on the ground, on the ground, you're still facing the same old issues. We still actually face, even worse, we're still facing the same old issues. Higher unemployment, you know, yeah. So poverty, unequal distribution of still of this wealth, you know. So, and when we talk about unemployment, especially in the rural areas, and, well, our common language, among the youth. So still same old issues. Same old. You know? So, but as I said, when you look at this, these plans, this great aspiration and ambitions, more of this, more of that, you know? Yeah. So can't we be realistic once? You know, just be realistic. We should be able to come to a point where we learn and said, amen. Let's be realistic. Let's be transparent. Let's be, you know, why do we always have these big numbers? And, you know, we promise so much. Shouldn't we learn from that? And we now, as a Namibian, I think we're more learned now. That you have more learned people now. They would definitely understand to say, look, this is where we are. And let's move based on our pace, based on where we are. I think we would understand. As Namibian, we're not ignorant anymore. And what normally make people, what is that? What make normally people indifferent or sometimes looking at this is when you promise them something and when they see that exactly what you're saying, that's absolutely, that's actually bull, you know? So now think of this. If you are a young person, yeah, if you're a young person in Namibia today and you have a kid who are finishing school and you are probably asking yourself, where are the jobs? So where are the jobs? How many of us know? Now, if I ask any one of you, how many of us know someone who's got a degree? We know a lot of them. I know a lot of them. How many of us know someone who has a degree? But he's stuck at home. That person is stuck at home, sending CVs after CVs, sending CV after CVs, hoping for a call back, which never come for years now. Yet the economy continued to expand. Our economy continued to expand. That's a fact. The disconnect between growth and job creation, I think it feels like a, when you see that, it feels like a bad joke, if you like. So it feels like, is this a joke? You know? So we have the economic, please make sure that, you know, you go through that story. It's very interesting in terms of detail. I'm taking just to a different aspect. Now, the Economic Association of Namibia, the EAN, now raises some serious concern. They raises some serious concern about this jobless growth phenomenon. Eh? This jobless growth phenomenon. And the statistics are troubling. They're really, really troubling. We don't need to repeat this, but youth unemployment in Namibia has been sitting at an alarming rate. Last report, at over 40%. It was over 40%. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's high everywhere. Well, sure, that's for sure. But the real worry is that, the real worry is this, it's not just the number. So when you think of that, this is not just the number. It is the quality of job. When we talk about jobs, it's the quality of job we are talking about. And in many cases, it's a lack of decent and productive employment. So that is not just about saying having a job, okay? It's about having a job that provides stable income, security, and the future. That's what people want. Yeah? So a day before yesterday, I was even talking to someone from Debmarine, you know, and they were telling me, Debmarine, there were a number of people who have given already, you know, package, you know, that's voluntary retrenchment, if you like. They've given their severance package. So, and you see, most people now in a bigger company like that, institution like that, and I'm not pointing out that Marina, just an example. So people already feel unstable. They feel insecure. You already feel insecure about your job, you know, about your income, eh? About your income, you know, about your salary. You know, and about the future, seriously. You know, so when I talk about salary, some people know what I'm talking about, you know? All right. So, yeah, definitely that's the case. So, now, the other question is then, why is this happening? Before I let you come, I see that you, most of you are probably trying to get through already. You know, but why is this happening? Just hold on. We still have to cover a few things before you come through so that you get a bigger picture. So why is this happening? Well, according to the story and according to the expert, one of the biggest issue is that Namibia's economic model is not inclusive enough. So our economic model is not inclusive enough. We have been relying too much on industries like mining and oil extraction. So which let's face it, which don't create enough jobs. Those don't create enough jobs for the millions of young people entering the workforce. So, well, it could be, let's hear quickly. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Morning. Can you just hold on a little bit? There are a few things that I need to do, and then you can come through. All right. All right. So yeah. So that's one thing. The inclusive. That our economic model is not inclusive enough. And the other thing is the agriculture. All right. There's the agriculture. The traditional labor-intensive sector that could provide many, you know, many jobs, but this is one of that could provide many jobs, but remain stagnant. So it continued to remain stagnant. Now, agriculture is where a lot of Namibians still make their living. It is the backbone of rural communities. So why is that sector underperforming? So why is it underperforming? So the thing is that, we are not seeing enough value-added process, you know, happening. Well, there is a plan. There is a plan that in each region, there will be a processing plant. in all 14 regions. Okay, we were talking about that, but you don't hear that anymore. And that is within this financial. Remember, that's actually within this financial, in this budget, 2025-2026 financial budget. Any groundwork we seeing in any region? Anybody comes through for me? Tell me that you see any groundwork already, any preparation on this value-added processing, you know, plant happening. Do we see that happening? So because in each 14 region, this year, not this year, but this financial year, which is actually ending next year, March, which is March or April. So by the end of this financial year, that's what we have been promised. There should be a processing plant in each of the region. That's what has been promised. Anyone telling me that, yes, that's happening. We see that in our region, we have started, you know, the building have been started or the discussion is being done. I need to hear that. Okay. Let us know. So yeah, as I said, that sector is underperforming, and we export, as we all know, we export raw product, but we don't process or manufacture enough locally to create, and that's what's going to create sustainable jobs, not just some kind of temporary job, but sustainable job is when we manufacture enough locally, okay. So, and if we don't invest really, if we don't invest in turning our agricultural product into more finished good, and I think the idea of the processing plant in each region is a very good idea, but so idea has to be a reality at one point. So if we don't invest in turning our agriculture product into more finished goods, so we are missing out on creating now the real employment opportunities. So we have just launched the PPF, the PPP forum of Namibia. The government talks about things like public-private partnerships, MSMEs, the financial mechanism for small businesses. So all of this sound like the right path forward, right? But let's not get too carried away just yet. I'm just said, let's not get carried too away just yet. The PPPs are supposed to help attract investment, but if the framework are too generic, if they are too generic, they won't have the specific target we need to actually address the youth unemployment crisis. So, and you know what that means. More empty premises. More paperwork and not enough change on the ground. And this is what is worrying you and me and many others. So now, so what is the missing here? What is missing here? Let's be real. What is missing here? Where is the accountability mechanism? Is the accountability mechanism? Where is the political will? Where are the follow through on these plans? Where are the follow-through on these plans? So, now, when I'm talking, now, think of this name, this was a discussion, you know, and then I asked this. Let's say, for example, now, when I'm asking where are the follow-through on these plans, let's think of someone, let's say, for example, there were how many boreholes? There were, when we're doing the financial, the budget review, you know, the Minister of Finance actually lists what has been achieved. Let's say, for example, you have 26 boreholes were erected or erected in the Kavango West. Now, and then now we say that's an achievement. Now, so when if you think of your different plans, if you think of your different development plans, how many boreholes you would have actually built in NDP 1, in NDP 2, in NDP 3, or something like that? So what you're doing now, you should actually have finished. So you should have finished in NDP 4. Do you understand? So to do it now and think and say that's an achievement, it doesn't reflect the reality, isn't it? So I'm not saying it doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but I'm saying it doesn't reflect the reality, because what you're doing now is something that you should have done in 2016. So otherwise, if we're not taking continuous, if we're not building on what has been built by those coming from us, then we kind of like, okay, my only development, it only start with me and it will end with me in 5 years. It's not going to take us anywhere. So there must be priority of the government. There must be this vision 2030, and whatever government, whether it's a DTA government or whether it's a PDM government or IPC government or SWAPO government, whatever government comes in, these are the priorities. So, yeah. So that in itself is not really an achievement, because it's not really an achievement because we're actually lagging. We're lagging behind in what we need to achieve. So we should be, that's what I'm asking, why? So where are the follow through? That's, we actually need to see why actually we couldn't achieve what we should have been achieving. Maybe that's the right way to looking at it, and said, well, and believe me, there might be some other reasons why we didn't achieve, for example, COVID, you know, global shocks, you know, any other things that actually happening in the world may affect. Sometimes it has nothing to do with us. But when we're realistic enough and understanding that, we can be able to say, well, these are things that affected this. Eh? Why we couldn't do this? Transparency. All right? Yeah. And it's easy to blame a sector, one sector or another. But if we want real transformation, we need to see a government that is committed to action, you know, and not just action for big, you know, big guys, the companies making billion in mining, tourism, and retail, but really action to get our young people employed. And let's be clear. Let's be very clear. It is not just about handout or quick fix jobs. It's about decent work with good wages, where people can actually build a career. So, yeah, and it starts with a fundamental shift in policy. It starts with a fundamental shift in policy. Our growth needs to be connected to transformation, which means building the kind of economy that works for many of the people here. Not just, as I said, not just probably mining companies or retailers and things like that. You know, economy that works for the majority of the people of Namibia. So, yeah, what do you think? So you're most welcome now to, you know, to come through and have and say your yeah, and have your thought and have your whatever, your, and share your thoughts. What do you think? And have your contribution. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. So, yeah, as I said, you know, we need to build the kind of economy that really, really works for the majority of people that find themselves, you know, right now sitting just hoping, you know, heaven, manna can fall from heaven. All right? So good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So your thoughts, your contribution, 0833-66-091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongoti samweni. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma iwe, yongeshifa yoye kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodarahi tatuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, so high.
A very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Dad Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, too.
Yebo.
Yeah, I... Economic growth.
Yeah.
The economy is growing, my friend. That's why we have 200 millionaires. in less than a year.
Yeah, no, the economy is growing. The economy is growing, but it's only growing in some people's pocket.
I'm telling you, one family. It's one family in the village.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening. One family is getting five people in the house. They're all getting employment in the defense force. Some of them, they don't have any qualification. The problem which we are seeing in Namibia is that...
That's Africa for you, my friend.
When you look at the people who are inviting us to come and invest in Namibia, they are not really investing in our people to get a decent job or whatever you are saying, or the able. Just imagine how many people are working in the Chinese able to buy even a Japan car. Just an example. I'm not talking about even like Chinatown. I'm talking about construction. People are involved in construction where we used to know that a lot of people are able to go and buy even a car and Dongo Toyota.
Yeah. Why don't
we see... some of Namibian white companies.
I think this is a very... when you look at... when you really think about this, why don't we see an economic transformation in the majority of our people when there is a visible economic growth in this country?
I'm telling you, people are working, but they are just working for what? To pay the... loan back to buy food and pay rent. That's all. Not even saving up for the future.
Yeah.
That's what we know a lot of people are going through. And just imagine, even at Chinatown, those people who are well established are making a lot of millions in a week. They're not even paying people, their employment, they don't even have a social security card. A woman can get pregnant in Chinatown and she go for maternity. There's nothing about social security. She's not going to get anything from social security because it doesn't even belong to social security. And then we are here inviting the foreigner to come and invest in Namibia. But you are not enforcing your what? Your policy.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. Those people can come in, making a lot of profit, ship out. Sometimes even they close the business when they know that they reach their target.
Yeah.
And they're leaving our poor workers in what? In the misery.
Yeah, there is a concern mm-hmm. that some industry, like mining, for example, and even the oil, these are not labor-intensive sectors. There are not many and somehow... the focus is on there, but these sectors don't create enough jobs.
And they are not really, they are not stable. Because the ones you see that diamond are not doing well, or even boats, they are not doing well in the world. So they'll be retrenched. And you are there, that's why banks are not relying on these people to get what? Loans. But and it makes it difficult because just imagine you are working at a mine for so long and they are not able to buy even a house. And remember one thing, that now people used to be paid, but now recently, like even losing, people are getting half cut of the salary.
Yeah.
But you can see that it is not a permanent job. Anything can happen anytime with mine.
Yeah.
People are supposed to be well paid off. So you are able to afford whatever you want yourself without relying to the bank. But I'm telling you, we have people who are really educated and whatever, but when it comes to our police, my friend, you can see that nobody's enforcing it.
Yeah.
People can talk about it, they can read about it in the, I mean, in the paper, but it's not really happening there. How long ago, if you see the, it was on the newspaper, or lithium,
yeah,
which is been mined in Calibre. Even just overall, people are not even given a proper overall.
Hmm.
But that company is shipping a lot of million out of Namibia when it comes to law material. I mean law firm material. Because now, and I think I like the our president when he said, no, there's no more law material going to live without us adding a value.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that. I don't know now why it's taking age. Because some of these things need to be done with 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because everybody can see that our law material are going with. Why, if you force those companies, if they are not able to set up any additional factory to be done here,
yeah,
then you put up even anything like a, what, 40% for Namibian. So it's 41 or 51? 51.
Well, for
51%, eh?
Yeah,
those one we are operating now. We are talking about this one we are operating now.
Yeah, for the new one. For the new ones, it will be for 51%.
Exactly. We can do it with this this one we are operating now.
Yeah.
Because we cannot just leave it the way it is. No. We see to other countries what they are doing. Look at the Burkina Faso, Niger, with the uranium. And the people who are used to buy is France. France used to buy for like, I think it was like $7 something, USA. And now it's going for 16. It's like even diamond, the way they are trading it now.
Yeah.
But it's still plans who was going to buy it again from them. But our uranium is here, Chinese are sipping like nobody business.
Yeah.
Then we are telling us we have 3%. What is a 3% in your raw material? And the money is then sold without even as involved. That man was sold between Canada and what? And the Chinese.
Yeah.
And it was not even done in Namibia. And then we as a country, we didn't get nothing at that deal. What does it tell you? And we are saying we are independent. What kind of independence is that one? Oh, because we are able to call like Mike and we talk about it. Is that what we call the independence?
Part of that, yeah.
It's part of it, but no. We don't eat speech.
Yeah.
We don't eat speech at all. What we need is our things, which we need to do ourselves. We have a lot of millionaires with you. I'm telling you that the 200 millionaires. What about if you put those 200 millionaires to take even out of losing from the Chinese?
Mm.
Who are those people which we don't see in their reality? But you are just saying we have 2 millionaires in less than a year. But who are those people? Where are they? Where are their businesses? Where are they operating? Why they cannot change Namibian youth and employment? The problem which we have is that, Mike,
yeah,
we have people who are just given chance after chance after chance. They mess up here, they're still going to get it. They mess up there, they're still going to get that. You see what I'm telling you, that this cockroach which are now more dying for what? For doom.
Yeah.
Can we come up with something which can kill them? Just to get right, completely to get rid of them. Because they've been in the system for so long. Can we create another system which can cater for everybody? Because this is just a family thing. We learn the government like we're learning our family. And is what is happening in Namibia.
Yeah. You know, that this is, as I said, the Economic Association, Economic Association of Namibia really raised this concern, a really concern about this jobless growth phenomenon that's actually very troubling, and the statistics are very troubling in our country, definitely.
Which is true, Mike, because the reality you can see it. When you go to hospital, there's no medicine, there's no cut even. Just easy to take those guys who are doing printing. Then you say, guys, can you create for me a medical cut? Very easy. You create even employment for those guys. If those guys was having two people, he's able to come because now he's getting a chance. He's able even to employ, temporary people, 20 or 15. Because even the machinery will increase his machinery.
Yeah.
But now, those cutter, we have to send it somewhere in India to be made in India. The uniform, we have to send it to Brazilian for defense. That is job which you are giving away.
Yeah.
And then you are here crying. And the Lamatic is hiding there. Nothing. Now we are giving the Lamatics away to what? Lani Group. For 25 years, they were 100,000 a month. What is that now? Sometimes I'm like, serious, when you check me, and they will just listen to the politician when he come to, even in the TV, he's talking about, no, we are going to create, how are we going to do it if you are not cutting the raw material to go in law form? Our timbers have been exported to Chinese. When they come back, we are buying that table for 24 months. What is this now?
All right.
No, man. Sorry, Mike.
It's all right, man. So thanks for coming through and thanks for your contribution. Definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Name.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Yeah. Sorry about this one. Yeah, the issue of this
economic growth, creation. But we don't see economic transformation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's what the story is all about. Yeah.
The dependence of the foreigners, FDI guys, they come to look what is needed to their market.
Yeah.
And what is Namibian market need are not identified by many FDIs. Yeah. So the service that we are getting from the, for example, to the Chinese, in terms of item sales and all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really standard wage of saying you hire a shopkeeper for 7,000 or you hire the cleaner for this such as amount.
Yeah.
So those are the inequality, which is not much inequality, but unqualified minimum wage, which is cannot also boosting up the people.
Yeah.
But if you look at in sub-Sahara Africa, when it comes to informal market like Nigeria, which is revenue are coming from informal market to 60 to 70%. People, they are understanding each other that the one that is ordering things from overseas, they are the one that creating jobs into others.
Yeah, to the informal sector in the country.
And that is what's happening also in Ghana. If you look at Ghana also, it's the same. They got 30% revenue from the informal market. Yeah, if you look at Kenya, it's the same. But when it comes to Namibia here, is that we are expecting the foreigner, the FDI, to creating jobs as the report indicated that.
Yeah.
The oil exploration is not creating jobs. Oil exploration is not Namibian commodities.
Yeah.
We don't have refineries, we don't have tire makers, we don't have anything that is coming from those type of product. So it's needed somewhere in the world. And that's why it's driving these people to come to us. So that one you cannot rely on saying the tire company can be manufacturing tires in Namibia.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that is saying, you know, it's in South Korea or it's in Australia. So those are the people that is need. The good example to give, because if I could give you a good example, if you look at Ombike, for example, the people that is make a traditional Ombike.
Mm.
If you want the person to make you Ombike, it's in on a single day. And Ndungo Wedikufa ko Kongenga.
Yeah.
So the person who is in on a single will tell you that Nandia Lendunga that in the room. You understand?
Mm.
So the pieces that is out of that Mondunga mo natakota yingi kuniko konasinge.
Yeah.
So Ovito Monosha. So those are the type of things that we don't understand, that to job created, we need also to be a part of the investment.
Yeah.
If you want to benefit it from the lithium, we have to convince our local business people to create, to become a final or a processing company in this country, while the others are digging as we are washing those products.
Yeah.
Then we're creating jobs for our people. But the service that we are not giving in the country, if you look at the supermarket, for example, that you guys are talking about,
yeah,
there are no Namibian stronghold like big Modela now that can be also, because Namibian government makes money available to funding their entrepreneurs, business people, and all of that. Even our banks, even our Minister of Finance. I don't know why people are blaming this, why they are not doing anything for that.
Mm.
The Minister of Finance was even located, there was a time 121 million to give to the local business people to do something. But these people are grabbing money with a beautiful proposal.
Yeah.
But they are not going to do it with what they are telling us in the business proposal. How do you expect a job to be created now?
Mm.
Those are the services. The services is the one that are creating jobs, people. And education is in a good level, but the student also, they are not really doing much to competing with other Cambridge curriculum in different countries.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you look at in India is a university of technology, are producing 1.4 million people a year.
Mm.
But most of those people are going all over the world to competing with others, and they got jobs. Yeah? They are the ones that is running big companies like Google, Facebook, what. If you look at them, they are educated in India.
Yeah.
But they are able to compete with those type of people. As here in Namibia, you're finding a person who doesn't know how to do a proposal.
Mm.
How do you expect that?
Do you think, because when we're talking now about the economic transformation, do you think there is a mismatch in terms of what is being actually taught in the universities and what the market are, you know? So because definitely we should be able, and that also comes to employment. So if there is mismatch in terms of the skills that people, you know, get, the skills that you get, it doesn't fit into the market, then definitely you have a lot of youth that are not employed.
Mike, that is a mindset. We have students that we are sending outside in this country.
Yeah.
Some the way in China, some the way in Ukraine, some the way in where, in different countries. That's why I'm saying curriculum is not different here. This is not what we are blaming to say, no, I didn't get enough skills to do what is needed by the employers or whatever it is. No.
Mm-hmm.
There are no such as a thing. If there is no mining, look at what happened to Minta. No, that the one for Rossing.
Yeah.
The N6 and N8 is doing it in South Africa in College of Cape Town. Once you went to Cape Town and you come back, the mine is already giving you opportunity.
Yeah.
You see that? Yeah? This is the same university, the same students that are coming in Southern Africa to studying in the University of Namibia. They have got jobs in their country.
Mm. Yeah? Mm.
Because they are doing the best. So no, don't tell me that, you know, we are teaching things. No, we are not using our own curriculum. We are using the international competitors. That's why we have NK, to evaluate what we have been learned, whether it's on the world standard.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
So we cannot blame something that is not existing. Those are the things that is people are discussing in the champagne. But in the office, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So the job opportunities, not the Namibians are not creating opportunity for others.
Mm.
That is the problem. There is no somebody who identifying the problem of this country. And the services that most of the services that are given by the government.
Yeah.
And look at what is Mandume now give you an example of saying, you creating, you printed a passport, a health passport.
Yeah.
How can I buy a health passport for $11? While in India, I can print it for 25 cents.
Yeah.
Huh? What if the money finished on the cart only? And you are blaming me to give my brother a job, and the money is finishing for buying another thing. We are working on according to the budget.
Mm.
The money that we got to do it on the ministry, the money that we got on the do on the private entities or public entities.
So from what you're saying, we seem to be in this circle where we can't really get out.
Yes, that's why I'm saying this is the problem of the Namibians, not the problem of the government.
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm giving you those. Informal market, if you look at informal market of those countries that I give you an example on, they are helping, but informal market in Namibia, Omatara, people are not buying in Omatara.
Yeah.
Why? Because they are not trusted. Those Omatara things,
yeah.
Where they came from. You understand? Those are the problems that we have in this country. I was with the one guy yesterday for the Mercedes-Benz things. He's selling, they said, no, I don't get in customer. I said, you say now.
Hmm.
People are believing that those parts you are selling is come from China. Approaching the agent that is can market it for you.
Yeah.
And you will be making money.
Yeah.
You will be creating jobs in different parts of Namibia because everybody needs that part. But if you are just sitting here and expecting people to come, they will not come. That is what the problem I'm saying. The Namibians, those who are now saying 200 millionaires, they got opportunity because they are facilitated to the foreign FDI.
Yeah,
they are facilitated to giving the license of those people. But if we stop issuing license to the Namibians, as you are talking about 51%, what? 51% will just making others rich.
Exactly.
Because we already have China... agreement program that I can hire a person from Botswana to come and help me how to extract it in diamond. I can hire somebody from Morocco to come and teach me how to make tea.
Yeah.
You see now, it will not go away a day. It will be there forever. So the problem, if we got entrepreneurs that are identifying problem like Johnny Warenga now end up making Eagle FM, identifying the voice of the people that they were not what. Now he creating jobs, he giving us opportunity to talk. That is what we are expecting those type of people in the country.
Yeah.
Mm. But we don't have such as people. And you are telling us that we are not seeing the job creation. Who is going to create a job for us? As I giving you a Ndunga example here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Do you think the Australian people, they don't have job shortage? They have. But if they got opportunity of getting lower material somewhere, they come and extract it here. They come and creating processing companies in their country.
In their country.
So, those are the things that we need to add. Let me not eating up people's time, but those are the schools don't please blaming. The curriculum that we are using is the international curriculum.
Yeah.
We are not using Namibian curriculum. But please. And we have different people that are going out of Africa to go studying in UK, whatever. If you go to Nigeria, there is a lot of students that are studying in UK. They come back into Nigeria, but they are not creating jobs for them. So anyway, thank you.
Torrent, thank you for coming through.
You're welcome.
Great.
081-08-333-6091.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Tati Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm fine, man.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right. When I'm here, I'm always right. I'm always fine. Right. Mm.
Yeah, man. Yes, you ask a question, why our economic growth seems like not to translate into economic development.
Yeah.
We don't see
economic transformation. So it's economic growth, but there's no economic transformation in the majority of people. So we still actually, we see the unemployment is going up. We're still poverty. There's no reduction in poverty, unequal, you know, standard of living still in the country. So that those things still, you know, those pressing issues still actually a problem. Yeah.
Okay. I think for me, the first thing I need to try to explain is the assumptions underlining the relationship between economic growth and economic development.
Yeah.
In economic theories, when you look at economic growth, they say it's supposed to transform those who are responsible for that economic growth. That is what the theory says. Meaning, people that are generating that economic growth, their standard of living supposed to also improve.
Yeah.
Okay? Remember, I'm talking about theory.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I also want you to get...
No, I'm coming.
Okay.
Okay. And that is exactly what is happening in Namibia.
Yeah.
Those that are responsible for that economic growth, their standard of living has improved.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that segment of the population that is responsible for that economic growth in Namibia, their standard of living has improved. That economic growth has been transformed into economic development to those specific segment of the population.
Yeah. So that means if we have a mine that is run by a foreign company, according to that theory, it means that the life of the people where this foreign company is coming from should have been transformed, isn't it?
Yes, according to that theory.
According to that theory, yeah.
Now, when they bring it to on the national level, that only happened, that we can only realize that if a bigger percentage of the population is responsible for that economic growth.
Yeah.
Okay? I hope you see where I'm going.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that, yeah. Mm.
Okay? If you have a bigger population of a bigger percentage of the population, which is the one generate that economic growth, definitely what will happen is that economic growth will transform into economic development for that bigger population, for that bigger percentage of the population.
Yeah.
The problem we have in Namibia, that economic growth is only coming from a small percentage of the population. And that posed a serious challenge on how this economic growth supposed to be transformed into development for the whole population.
Yeah.
And so far, there is not really any economic theory that tried to suggest how we're supposed to do that. It has never worked anywhere, and it's something that we need to think, okay, how do we now, we have a small population that is the one that is responsible for an increase in economic growth, but we want this increase in economic growth to benefit everyone in the economy. How do we go about that?
So, okay, in a simple terms, what you're saying that for the economic growth to be transformed into economic development, for that matter, the majority of the people have to participate in that process of economic growth, because according to the theory, only those who participate in economic growth would actually, you know, benefit, would actually see the benefit of that, of the economic growth.
I think the university's application fee, that data are not closed. Please apply for your honors in economics. You are a good student. Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, I will do that.
Now, do you agree with that statement?
Not entirely.
Okay.
Not entirely, but in some way I can see to say, look, the majority of people are outside of the formal way of, I'm putting it simply, they are outside of the formal way, recognized way of doing businesses, and therefore, why can't I hear myself anymore?
Yeah, but I can hear you.
You can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means the majority of people are outside of the formal, you know, formal way of formal process of bringing economic growth, and therefore in that way, they are being affected, you know. But we also know the reason why I'm not saying completely is because you can also bring in the informal way into economic growth.
Yes, you are right. You are very much right.
Yeah.
You are very much right. So therefore, since we find ourselves in a situation whereby most of the population are not responsible for the economic growth that we are experiencing, what is that is available for us as a nation? That's the question that I think we need to answer.
Mm.
What can we do so that even those that are not automatically benefiting because they are not involved in the production, how do they benefit? That is now how we need to bring in the government.
Mm.
Okay? The government realized that this is the problem we have in the country. We have a GDP that is produced by a small percentage of the population, which means it's only the small percentage of the population that benefit from that GDP. So now, how do we
I think maybe the way we should look at it is that, okay, for example, they're saying there are sectors that are not labor intensive, you know? So that means if we focus more on mining, and if we focus more, for example, on mining, we will only have a small percentage that's actually participating in the economic growth. But then if we focus, for example, in agriculture, okay, so which have the potential actually to have more people, which is more labor intensive, that could provide more job. You could have more people actually participating. So in terms of percentage of participating in economic growth, to say it's only few people, that I think we need to expand that in terms of sector maybe that we are focusing on, and then we need to look at which sectors that we need to focus on to actually bring more people into to participate in economic growth.
Okay, what is the role of the government in this case? What I wanted to say, the role of the government is to go to those sectors that are capital intensity.
Yeah.
See how they can get as much as possible, as much fund revenue from, they must devise a way of how to correct as much fund as possible.
Yeah.
And take that specific, that fund that they generate from that sector and invest it in the sector that you just referred to.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the role of the government. Because when they take the money from the mining sector, I don't know, through royalty, tax, or whatever they may have, that specific money, it's that money that they get there. It should not be used for something else apart from investing it in the sector that it can have the potential to employ more of the population.
Mm. But how much? But the question now: how much do we get from the capital intensive sector, for example? We're not getting much. To be able now to invest in the labor-intensive sector.
No. How much we get, it's entirely depend on us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how much we get is entirely depend on us, because it's within our power to come up with policy and the system allow us to get the maximum benefit from there.
Exactly.
That is where African government has failed. They have failed to get money from those capital intensity industry and channel it to the sector where it has the potential to employ most of the citizens.
Yeah.
It's a failure of our government. It's not there's nothing, you cannot force mine to employ more people, because that's not the nature of a job of the sector. But you can get money from the mine, from that sector, and put it in the sector that can employ as many people as possible. And indirectly, you are now, the people that are not working in the mining sector, they are also benefiting from the mining proceeds. And that is where we have got it wrong.
Yeah.
We have got it wrong in that. That is where we have got it wrong. Otherwise, if we get it right in that area, where we say, okay, let us take the money from this sector that is capital intensity, let us bring it, invest it. Just imagine if we have 1 billion every year in our budget that we invest in agricultural sector. 1 billion for the past 35 years.
Yeah.
You know what the kind of agricultural sector we're supposed to have by now.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be feeding Africa. But look at how much did we, for the past 35 years, each year, we put aside for the capital investments in agriculture. It's very, very little.
Very little, yeah. And maybe that's where now the government actually said, look, for any mining, the requirement would be that local ownership would be about 51%. So how practical that is and how feasible that is, that's another question, that's another discussion altogether. Yeah.
As long as we need to give other people a chance. The money that we generate from the capital intensity sectors is not purposefully channeled to the sectors, the other sectors. As long as we don't have that, we take the money, we use it for whatever, all these unnecessary things that operations and unnecessary projects, and we ignore the sector that has the potential to lift the standard of people. As long as we continue doing that, we will continue crying that our resources are not benefiting everyone. But we are the reason why resources are not benefiting. Just imagine, if you say all the money we get from the mining sectors, we are not going to put it in other thing else apart from investing it in these specific sectors. By this time, we are supposed to have gone very far.
Exactly.
Mike, let us give other a chance.
Thank you for your contribution as well.
Okay.
Great.
Our 333-66091.
Very good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ango Bwana. Sorry for the other time I didn't finish. All right.
No, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just following up the same question you asked today, and you did ask it yesterday. Say the economy is growing, but no people in employment.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's me who does not understand the contradiction there, or maybe because if the economy is growing, no employment, and one wonder who are those people who are doing those activities that's contributing to the economic growth. So maybe not in the same pace, but to a certain degree, one might could believe that, yes, the people who are contributing to the economic growth are the ones who are being absorbed into those employment sector. Like I say, maybe not at the pace that is expected.
Yeah.
So, and then you mentioned about the informal sector. So, because this informal sector now also spread across the agriculture informal activities.
Yeah.
and you spread across all these informal, you know, these sectors where you have those things, those production activity going on. And it's activities that create, generate money, isn't it? Fun.
Mm.
And of course, if at all, because I have also seen companies that I've never seen, especially when I stay most of the time on the TV, you always see emerging Namibian company on the energy sectors and in various sectors, actually.
Yeah.
So, and I now wonder whether these people who are in that, in those activities, are also part of the contribution of the economic growth.
Hmm.
If that is the case, then the question that you pose to me is somehow contradictory. Because of course, if we could now have some certain number and they say, yes, in this other area, in this thing, in this thing, in the aggregate figure for unemployment and things like that. But with this company, the assumption is that, yes, people are being employed. If the economy is growing, how is it growing? Who is contributing to that? What type of activities contributing to that growth? People are not being employed.
I think that the thing is that one is looking at that. Okay, if our focus, say for example, is on, let's say for example, our GDP to our growth to GDP is certain percentage, and that mostly coming from mining. That means it's coming from either taxes, royalties, and other things. Now, but it means that the economy is growing. But that sector only have actually few people actually doing the work. Do you understand? So it means that the money that comes from there, it can actually, the revenue that comes there shows that, well, the economy is growing, but the people that are employed in that sector are quite few. So then why is the economy is growth? But because this sector only employ few people, you still actually the majority that are outside of that sector that are unemployed, you know? So, and sometimes that's where maybe you can see that could be a contradiction. It's not a contradiction in the sense that the economy can grow, but it's growing in a sector that it doesn't actually employ. It's a capital intensive rather than labor intensive. So therefore, we need maybe now to focus more on agriculture, for example, which is more labor-intensive sector. Yeah.
So, but we have heard that the mining sector, the growth there is declining. And if it's declining, the construction, because in this exploration and all these things, so you also have, say, for example, like now this iron, this green, whatever they are talking about, the iron production and all these things. These are more majorly on construction. And if you go around, the construction sector is moving so much. And they could be now the informal, because when you look at the figure of the informal economic sector, compounded, so it surpassed the one for formal sector.
Yeah.
So one can see that a lot of people, this ones the informal, are not in mining many times, no. But they are, these are labor-intensive kind of activities in agriculture or wherever, or constructions, and these are ones that are contributing more. So Andreas mentioned about the Nigeria and all these things, even in our own situation here. More of this percentage, the GDP, comes from the informal sector. Even though it's not organized, it's not formalized, and things like that, but you can still observe, get into your document that, yes, this is what is contributing more. So that's where I say, now, fine, there are sectors where they are, if you look at even the level, the government or state only interpret and things like that. some of this level, when you look at the three level, top, middle, and the down one. So you can also see that from the gender perspective, you see some of the men are here. And these are a few people who are maybe directors or managers and things like that. And they capture a lot of sound to go home. Unlike those ones, maybe the laborer here, the institutional workers on the ground, the production level. So, but in the mining, we are told this, even in diamonds, it's not picking up, it's not contributing more.
Yeah.
What is it that is contributing? It's not informal and agriculture and those who are being observed into maybe a few in the police, in the armies, and all these other things. So my question was just like, if the economy is growing, I understand maybe the impact is not also felt at the moment.
Exactly. That's the point you're making. Exactly that point you're making. That, well, the impact of that growth is not being felt. Exactly. That's the point.
At the moment. Or maybe it's not just felt by perception that we have not gone to really do some kind of research and find out exactly what does it now mean. When the economy is growing, or this other one, and then we come with some kind of auditing kind of, statistic, and we get to know about it.
Right. So,
but anyway, thank you very much for giving me an opportunity.
No, thanks for coming through.
Good.
08333 66 0 Mike, 08333 66 0 9 1. All right. So if you want to come through and still, contribute. Just to wrap up on one of the things that we probably talked about this morning. So, well, first off, the government has to do more than just talk about inclusive growth. It needs to walk the walk. We need a more focused, coordinated approach to creating jobs in sector like agriculture and, of course, manufacturing. So, and secondly, we need to ensure that someone talked about education and skills. Education and skill development match the realities of the job market. That is something that it really emphasized by many experts. So no more mismatch between what people are learning in school and what actually needed in the workplace. We need really to match our skill development, our education to the reality of the job market. All right? So, and maybe we need to make sure that all this growth translates into real tangible benefit for the people who need most, which are the youth, the workers, the business owners.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia. Como está?
Ah, tudo bem, obrigado. Estamos bem, graças a Deus. E tu ali? Yeah, my brother. Good morning.
How are you, man?
Oh, when you forgot the number, you mention your own name, you remember, because I'm coming from you now.
Yeah.
Is that good? That's the tactic.
That's the tactic, man.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Nawai.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the issue of creating economic.
Yeah, the economic growth, it doesn't, people seem to say, well, there's economic growth, but it's not translated into real tangible benefits for most people. Let not generalize to say not, yeah, but for most people who need it most. Yeah. Mm.
And there you say, like, the government need to do more.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I support you because, for you to have a good economy in your country, you should have a good infrastructure in your country.
Yeah.
To push the investor to come to your country, also to invest in your country.
Mm.
But if you don't have a quality road, don't have a proper building, you have a lack of electricity, you have lack of water. There today there's water, tomorrow there's water. You know, these kind of things you never go where the country want to go. You'll be behind.
Mm.
And you have even people still living in this kind of environment. Sheikhs, 3 million, but the most of people are living in sheikhs.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. So now, if you want to create the economy to grow, also where if you're driver of this bus. Drive in the bus, everybody in that bus also listening, hearing what are you going to do, if it's good or not. Then you don't stop here, stopping on the second stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have people here in our system right now. You are seeing now there is a house delivering 2,000 or 5,000, 6,000, but the longer you take, I'm getting old. Now, when this house this time come to food, or this system are open, people are building houses for us, and I'm old, I will not qualify to get that house.
Yeah.
And also blame is the government, which is going, is moving too slow.
Mm.
And I think for us to be up to date, create a system which will minimize this kind of the land issue and infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a good quality of building in your country, they won't come to your country and invest in your country. So you must create a system which will push the investor. Yeah. Willing to come into your country because you know this, everything's up to date.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to our road, and there I salute the leaders with the, we have a quality road in the media.
Yeah, but I can tell you with certainty that, you know, man, we have good policies, we have good framework.
How much? 200 million.
Yeah.
And that law was put 1990. It's a long time, man. I think I guess that's slipped on my mind.
Yeah.
And I was like, so all of
it's in 1970s.
We are following a system which are abusing us. No. Anyway.
Yeah.
For us to be up to date, let us create a system which are even the poor. The poorest men in the media,
yeah.
who doesn't have a job, should have his a shelter to live, should have a house. That's what we want.
That's why the president said we are too few to be poor. Seriously,
yes.
And something we must look at that very, very seriously. We are too few to be really poor.
They should create a system. Even somebody who doesn't have a pay slip should own a house in the media. Will even minimize the poverty in the media. Because
anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
So what is missing in our current approach to job creation and employment? So is this just a government issue, or is it something we all need to take part in it? So the private sectors. So maybe the other question, do we really have, in Namibia, have we really create an environment where the private sector duly participate? And the other thing is this, sometimes you're looking at, okay, who are these private sectors? So if we're talking about institutions, some of these, and this is the problem actually, when we have some institutions that are not, how many organizations, you know, that we're referring us to private sector that are actually 100% Namibians, you know? So, yeah, so those are some of the issues. And they have come to loot. They're not to loot necessarily in the way that I'm saying. They have come to, to take, and you know, to take it to their own country. Hmm? So, and that's why who are talking about this then? And that's why probably we find ourselves in that circle. So, yeah. As I said, let's keep the conversation. Our time is about 49 minutes past the hour of 9. And we're talking about how do we transform? How do we translate? How do we translate the economic growth into a real, tangible benefit for the most people who need that most? You know, the youth, the workers, the small business owners. So those are the questions. That's the article. That's what the article look at. That's also the question most people are asking. Those are also questions that most people are asking, that you are asking. So, yes, how do we then translate, you know, economic growth into economic transformations? Yeah, 0833-0833-66091. We still have about 10 minutes to go. I can still have about two or three people coming through, you know, or you can come through. I can give you the whole 10, you know, if there's nobody, you know, coming through. So if you want to come through, I'm going to give you the rest of the minutes that is left. Okay? 0833-66091. All right. That's our topic. And thanks for those. There has been really some great discussion, some great contribution this morning. So that give you what is that? Food for thought. Really, that really make you. All right. Good to see different perspectives sometimes. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
Fine, things, man. I'm listening, and you know, it's quite an area of my interest.
Good. Thanks for coming. Sometimes, you still have 9 minutes, you know?
All right. Sometimes we wonder why things are not working if they're supposed to work.
Mm.
And as a legal and economic scholar, I've been observing our economy at large to, you know, understand why the system is not working.
Yeah.
And I should say that we have structural issues, you know, that we did not do much effort to reform after independence.
Mm.
As you said, regarding the private sector.
Is it because it's working or and then we found ourselves now in a situation where we said, I think it isn't working in the way we think it's working. Or what is really the problem? Yeah.
The problem is it's working in the advantage of certain individuals.
Yeah.
That's how it has been set up. And that includes the housing market.
Mm.
First of all, in terms of the labor market, and that's where the government fails with regulation. The biggest role of the government in a capitalist or mixed economy is a role to regulate.
Yeah.
And that's what we have seen from the government of Roosevelt. No?
Yeah.
He was known for regulating the American economy amongst the big entities, the well entities, and etc. Now, for instance, one of the industries that is failing our people is the retail industry.
Mm.
The retail industry makes billions of dollars a month, you know, but the people that work within that industry gets paid little chunks of money. And this is particularly that caused the gap between the rich and the poor to expand more, because the owners take more profit.
Yeah, pumped into this country.
Now
yeah.
the dilemma or the issue that we have is that the government has little concern as long as they get their tax.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
That's still where the government goes. And of course, you know, politics and etc., you know, we don't know what happens there at the back door that brings the government to that place where they are not concerned about the worker that works in pick and pay.
Mm.
That makes about millions of dollars a month. who cannot even afford a decent grocery within that shop. You understand?
Yeah.
And then we have the issue of the housing as well. I wrote a very interesting article on the issue of the housing. The problem with the housing industry is that the banking system uses the housing industry to securitize as a securities. Get it?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why you see people have to pay exorbitant bonds. And those bonds are transformed as investments to the richer people. Get what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
That is the basic issue we have now. The house is basically two things at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a consumption good and an investment good at the same time. You get it?
Mm.
So when it becomes a consumption good, you buy the house to stay in it. And as a family. Now, when it becomes an investment good, somebody else invests in it to make money from it.
Exactly, yeah.
So now the municipality is sitting with this dilemma. Now, if we have to allocate land, should we allocate land as a consumption or as an investment?
Yeah.
Now, the good thing for them is once they allocate land as a investment, then they get more returns as a consumption good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So those are particularly the dilemmas that we're actually sitting with. But I think the government is doing less to play the role that it should be. It's good that the current government is trying to pick out these things.
Yeah.
And I think it will take a process going forward.
Exactly.
Maybe we need new leaders that will take on with this type of mentality that the new government is having, especially the president.
Yeah, but now being actually someone who understands this better, the question now is, how do we build the kind of economy that works for many, not just for the few, really?
Yeah, I mean, Namibia and South Africa are having similar issues. There's an issue of inequality. So reformation has to take place.
Mm.
We have to reform the economy. The Odendaal plan and the apartheid policies caused huge harm. That when the government came in, they didn't really do much, you understand, for the plight of those black people that suffered previously, that were previously disadvantaged. So now, I mean, we have issues like jobs and so on, but what the people need is land, understand?
Yeah.
People need land. Much of the poverty that we are finding in the south is the issue of the land. Somebody that comes from the north can easily say when they get just a job to say I can go build my home. But somebody that comes from the south cannot say that.
Yeah.
Because much of that land is still under, you understand? And I know it's processes that we still have to take and et cetera, and we'll get there. But I think what we are suffering.
Will we?
It's a ripple effect of the apartheid and the Odendaal plan. And South Africa has similar issues.
Yeah.
So we have wealth, much wealth, but the wealth is not equally distributed. And that's how the system was set to operate previously. You get it?
Yeah. So
I think we have done much to assist those that we call plane fighters that fought outside the country.
Mm.
But we don't consider those that were affected within the police zone.
But the
fight for this country has been happening since the resistance war. How many families have been misplaced, fathers have been taken to shark islands and et cetera, all these things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But even that, I'm kind of looking at, is the model, is the approach sustainable? Shouldn't we have looked at a more sustainable way of even helping those, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk about sustainability, there's a difference between a good economical decision and a political decision.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thin line. Most of our politicians don't have an economical mindset.
Yeah.
For instance, just to give an example of when they wanted to increase, I think, VAT, in South Africa, you know, it was a good political decision for income, to bring more income. But then it was a bad political decision.
Economical decision
that was going to affect the low and the middle income people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Even when you come back to Namibia, You know, I think those are particularly similar issues that we are having in that regard, you understand?
Yeah.
So I think we need more people in leadership that understand economics. You know, and of course, you cannot apply the economics of foreign countries into Namibia because we have unique challenges. You know?
Mm.
We must have people that to apply economics and understand the unique challenges of our country. And we cannot wipe the history out. Of course, we have to start there. We have to look first at historical injustices because much of the inequality that we are still suffering from is post-independent, you know, things that happen pre-independence.
Yeah.
That's what I believe, you know.
All right. Now, I want you to hold on the line because I want to speak to you, okay?
All right.
Okay, just hold on the line.